Another pattern. Read. We broke the surface together. Water sluiced from her face, golden and freckled, and her hair long and brown. She clutched my shirt as she gasped, spluttered, before tipping her face to the sky and grinning. Those clear blue-green eyes met mine, and she finally spoke. "Do you have something in your pocket, Jazz? Or are you just happy to see me?" I couldn't help it. I threw back my own head and laughed. When I'd found her drifting beneath the surface, her body limp and cold, her white hair floating eerily around her, I'd feared the worst. I'd seized her, shaken her, kicked to the surface, and shouted her name. Nothing had worked. In a fit of rage, I'd even dived back down to find the white dog, but it had vanished. As we'd risen the second time, however, something had changed. Her legs had started to move, slowly at first, then swifter, stronger. They'd worked in synchrony with mine, and I'd watched, amazed, as her hair had grown longer with each kick, as the color had returned to each strand, to her skin. She'd healed before my very eyes. Crushing her to me now, I spun us in the water. It didn't ripple with the movement. I didn't care. "Lou," I said her name desperately, pushing the long locks from her face. "Lou." I kissed her mouth, her cheeks, her throat. I kissed every inch of her I could reach, still laughing, hardly able to breathe. She laughed with me, and the sound sparked in my bones, light, bright. If I stopped swimming now, I would have floated. I would have flown. I kissed her again. I'd never stop kissing her. "Lou, are you?" "I'm all right. I'm me." Her arms wove around my neck, and she tugged me closer. I buried my nose in the crook of her shoulder. I feel better than I have in ages, honestly. Like I could fly or wield an axe or erect a statue in my honor. She wrenched my head up to kiss me once more. When we broke apart, gasping for breath, she added, "It'd be made of sticky buns, of course, because I'm starving." My cheeks hurt from smiling. My head pounded in rhythm with my heart. I never wanted it to stop. "I have one in my..." Coco's shout at the shore caught us both unaware, and we turned as the world rushed back into focus. She'd sunk to her knees, staring into the waters like she'd seen a ghost. "Ansel," Lou whispered, loosening her grip to better tread water. I frowned. "What?" "He wanted to say goodbye." Smiling softer now, she kissed me again. "I love you, Reed. I don't say it often enough." I blinked at her. Warmth cracked open in my chest, and her words spreading to the tips of my fingers and toes. "I love you too, Lou. I've always loved you." She scoffed playfully. "No, you haven't." "I have." "You didn't love me when I plowed into you at Pan's." "I absolutely did," I protested, brows shooting upward. "I loved your god-awful suit and your ugly mustache and..."
"Excuse you,"
she leaned back in mock outrage. "My mustache was magnificent."
"I agree. You should wear it more often."
"Don't tempt me."
I leaned closer, brushing my nose against hers, whispering against her lips. "Why not?"
Her eyes gleamed wickedly in response, and she wrapped her legs around my waist, nearly drowning us both. I couldn't bring myself to care.
"You've corrupted me terribly, Chaz."
With one last maddening kiss, slow and deep, she disentangled herself and flicked my nose.
"I'll wear my mustache for you later. For now, we should..."
Then Coco screamed again. I knew immediately this scream wasn't like the last. Knew it before a man's body thudded to the beach. Knew it before Lou released me abruptly. I reached for her again, drawing her into a protective embrace, because I recognized the man's body. And Constantine, an immortal being made of water and mist, was dead. Coco sprinted forward with another cry.
"Constantine!"
Her hands fluttered over him helplessly, while Lou and I treaded water in silent horror. Ice crept up my spine at his wide-open eyes, his slack mouth, the bloody hole in his chest. "Constantine!" Coco shook him fiercely now, clearly unable to process. Her shock, no, denial, mirrored my own. Constantine couldn't have died. The Melusines had cursed him eternal.
"No one is safe here, Cosette."
Lou's knuckles turned white on my arms. "How is this possible?" My grip tightened on her waist.
"I don't know."
When Coco continued to shake him, her hysteria rising, Lou swam forward determinedly. "Right. We can fix this. The waters restored him once, which means..." I caught the back of her chemise.
"Wait."
A high, chilling laugh echoed over the cliffs down to the shore, and Morgan Le Blanc stepped from the path onto the beach. A dozen witches followed. They fanned out behind her in a defensive formation, eyes sharp and mouths hard, resolute. Coco scrambled backward into the water, dragging Constantine's body with her.
"Well, isn't this sweet?"
Hair gleaming in the moonlight. Morgan clapped her hands in applause. Her gaze flicked from Lou and me to Coco, who lifted a silver chalice to Constantine's lips in a final attempt to revive him. Her lip curled.
"You must be so proud, Josephine. Look how your darling niece frets over the guardian."
To Coco, she said,
"He's dead, mon petit chou."
She lifted her stained fingers.
"Surely, you know magic cannot live without a heart."
"How? How did you?"
Coco's voice stuttered as she stared helplessly at Constantine.
"He's the guardian. How did you kill him?"
Morgan arched a brow.
"I didn't."
L'Avancin stepped into view. A dark substance coated her hands. It matched the hole in Constantine's chest.
"I did."
Coco rose slowly to her feet.
"Foolish man. We presented our black pearls, of course, but still he put up quite the fight."
Though Morgan tutted, the sound lacked her signature melodrama. Deep purple shadowed her eyes, like she hadn't slept in days. Her skin was paler than usual, burns riddled her face and chest, and her hair appeared singed in places.
"Unfortunately for Constantine, we're the two most powerful witches in the world. Now, I will admit, the dragon gave us pause. It stole my broken toys, nearly razed my dollhouse to the ground, but no matter. The dragon is gone, and we shall not be caught unprepared again."
She glanced out at the waters, clearly displeased.
"We are here now."
"A dragon?"
Lou whispered.
"Who?"
"Xena. She'd saved the others after all. She'd flown back to Césarine. Coco could have been carved from stone. What have you done, Tante?"
Lavoisin met her niece's hard stare, impassive. Her expression revealed nothing. With the dip of her chin, however, three blood witches marched forward. Between them floated two gagged and bound figures, eyes wide, both thrashed against the magic holding them. To no avail.
"Beau and Celie,"
Lou cursed softly.
"What I must,"
L'Avancin said simply. A beat of silence passed as they stared at each other.
"No."
Coco's eyes burned at the word, her hands curling into fists. She took a small step forward, and the waters, they rippled beneath her foot. Lavoisin's eyes tracked the movement, narrowing infinitesimally.
"That isn't an answer, and neither is Morgan Le Blanc.
How many times did we ask for her aid? How many of our kin have perished from cold and disease? How many of them have starved while she stood idly by?
Voisin arched a brow. As you have stood idly by.
Coco didn't so much as flinch. I'm not standing idly by now.
No.
You're actively standing in my way.
You betrayed us.
I am losing patience, Morgan said with quiet malevolence. Her fingers twitched.
Foolish child,
La Voisin spoke as if she hadn't heard her.
You would have us continue to sicken and starve. Why?
Her black gaze found Lou and me.
For them?
Lip curling, she shook her head in a slow, winding movement, like a cobra preparing to strike.
You are the Princess Rouge.
Once, I would have encouraged your voice. I would have respected your opinion, but now your empathy rings hollow. You do not care for our people. You do not claim them as kin. You may protest my betrayal, Cosette, but you betrayed us long before this. Morgan has promised our coven safety in Chateau Leblanc.
Her eyes seemed to harden at the name.
In exchange for Louise. I would do far worse than betray you to procure it. The time has come to choose your side.
She stepped beside Morgan at the last, tall and unyielding. Together, the two formed a striking image, both regal, both beautiful, both queens in their own right. Whereas Morgan possessed a dark sort of glamour, however, ever the showman, Josephine boasted no decoration. She was stark, a study in harsh reality and bleak truth. The malice in the former's eyes looked comically bright next to the flat, cold cunning of the other. The honesty. She didn't try to hide it. Le Voisin loathed Morgan.
The ends justify the means, she finally murmured. If we don't stand together, we will fall.
Coco stared at her aunt, as if seeing her for the first time.
You're right.
The Dame Rouge on the beach stilled at Coco's unexpected response. I recognized a few of them from our time together in Leviathan.
I was a child,
she continued, her voice growing stronger with each word, impassioned. I was a child, scared of my own birthright, of leading everyone, of failing anyone, of disappointing you. I feared the responsibilities such a life would entail. Yes, I ran, and I am sorry for that. She looked to her kin then, bowing her head, accepting her culpability in their hardship. They regarded her with a mixture of suspicion and admiration.
I am no longer that child. You are my kin, and I want to protect you as much as my aunt does. But her life,
she pointed a finger in Lou's direction, is worth just as much as yours. She turned back to her aunt.
Morgan has been hunting the king's children. We found Etienne, the king's son, butchered in our own camp, and Gabrielle disappeared shortly after. Morgan was responsible, tante, but you already know that, don't you? Did you offer them up yourself, your own people?
When Josephine said nothing, confirming her suspicions, Coco exhaled harshly, moving to stand between us and her aunt with deliberate care.
I've chosen my side.
Lou went still at her words. The blood witches, however, stirred. Murmurs rose from a few of them. Whether in support or dissent, I couldn't tell. La Voisin's expression didn't change at her niece's declaration. Instead, she jerked her head to the witches nearest her.
Take her!
When they hesitated, shooting anxious glances at Coco, La Voisin slowly turned to face them. Though I couldn't see her expression, they hastened to obey this time. Coco skittered backward as they approached, and the waters rippled again, kept rippling. The witches halted at the shore, reluctant to follow, until the bravest took a tentative step forward. When her toe touched the waters, her entire body jolted, and, as if a spectral hand had reached forth to snatch her foot, she slipped, vanishing into their depths. They swallowed her scream without even a ripple, sinister and still in the moonlight. The witch might have never existed. Morgan tisked as the other witches balked. Her voice rang out hard, ruthless.
I suppose rules are rules, aren't they?
Dreadful things. As if any one of us had time to speak our truth.
Never fear, though, Ta-ta,
she said to Josephine, whose jaw clenched at the diminutive epithet.
The poor dears will have to come out eventually. And we have all the time in the world,
she snapped her bloody fingers, and Beau and Celie dropped to their feet.
These two, however, don't have much time at all. What say you, darling? She called to Lou. How shall I play with them?
You're sick, Beau snarled, the veins in his throat bulging as he fought to move.
She only smiled. It held no warmth. From her cloak, she extracted Celie's injection, hurling the syringe into the water.
Though perhaps I tire of play altogether. Come here, Louise, or I shall kill them. Our game is done.
Lou started forward instantly, but my fingers caught her chemise. I didn't let her go, couldn't let her go.
Reed, don't.
Baring her teeth, Morgan snapped her fingers again. Swords appeared in Beau's and Celie's hands. Another snap, and Beau lunged forward, his blade slicing through Celie's side. Blood welled in its wake. With the flick of Morgan's finger, Celie retaliated with a sob, her sword lodging deep in Beau's shoulder. Toy soldiers.
I'm sorry,
she gasped, arms trembling as she attempted to combat Morgan's magic.
I'm so sorry.
I'm fine.
Beau desperately strove to comfort her as he countered her strikes, teeth gritted, breath shallow.
We're going to be fine.
Celie stabbed again, this time in his thigh. Blood poured. With a wild cry, Coco surged forward as Lou twisted in my arms. Morgan waved a hand, however, and when Coco cleared the water, a glass cage descended around her. She pounded against its walls, furious, and strings wrapped themselves around her wrists and ankles. Baring her teeth, Lavoisin darted forward to intervene.
The ends, Josephine!
Morgan waved another hand, and the strings tightened, stretching Coco's limbs taut to the point of pain, a doll in a box.
They justify the means! Is that not what you said?
Lavoisin stopped dead in her tracks. Her body quivered with fury.
My niece remains unharmed.
She is unharmed.
Those glittering emerald eyes found Lou. Beau and Celie continued battling behind her, their blood splattering the sand.
For now? You have to let me go, Reed,
Lou pleaded.
She won't stop.
No.
I kept my voice low, shook my head fervently, tried to ignore my own mounting panic. There had to be another way. My eyes swept over the witches again, assessing 13 in all, 6 dents rouges, judging from the scars on their skin, and 7 dents blanches. The former would need physical contact to harm, but the latter could attack at any moment. My mind searched wildly for an advantage, any advantage. Could Lo Melancolique affect our magic? Repress it? If we could somehow lure Morgan into the waters... I tested my own patterns. The golden cords rose instantaneously.
Shit.
Worse still, one cord continued to shine brighter than the rest, pulsing with insistence, the same cord that had answered at the lighthouse, the same cord I couldn't pull. I wouldn't pull.
Save her,
the magic whispered.
Save them all.
I continued to ignore it. Coco cried out as her strings tightened, and Lou took advantage of my distraction, finally twisting free.
Look, Mama, look!
She waved her hands in a placating gesture.
I'll play with you now. I'll even trade toys. Me, in exchange for Beau and Celie.
Though I still shook my head, reaching for her, she kicked away and continued determinedly.
But you can't harm them again. I mean it, Mama. Any of them. Beau, Celie, Reed, Coco, they're all safe.
From this point onward, no one touches them.
The pattern pulsed. My head continued to shake.
Morgan didn't seem particularly surprised by Lou's request, nor did she laugh or dance or goad as she once would have.
You can see how that might present a problem, daughter. With your death, the prince and huntsman will also perish. You assume I'll die.
I know you'll die, darling.
Lou smirked then, and the sight of it struck me like a physical blow. Only days ago, I'd feared I would never see that smirk again. My body tensed with barely controlled restraint.
I guess we'll have to play to find out, she said.
She started for shore once more.
No!
I caught her arm. She hadn't suffered this long. She hadn't sacrificed everything, walked through literal fire, exercised a fucking demon to give up so easily now. Coco had said one life wasn't worth more than another, but she'd been wrong. Her life meant more. Bo's and Saley's lives meant more, and Lou, her life meant most of all. I would ensure she lived it. I would ensure they all lived.
You can't do this.
She kicked upward to kiss me in one last desperate plea.
I can't kill her if I keep hiding, Reed.
She breathed against my cheek.
Remember what your mother said. Closing my eyes won't make it so the monsters can't see me. I have to play. I have to win.
No.
My jaw locked. I couldn't stop shaking my head.
Not like this.
Either I kill my mother, or my mother kills me. It's the only way.
But it wasn't. It wasn't the only way. She didn't know that, of course. I'd refused to speak the alternative aloud, refused to acknowledge it even in my own thoughts. The golden cord quivered in anticipation. Lou had already given so much. She'd journeyed to hell and back to save us, shattering herself in the process. She couldn't die now, and if she didn't die, she spoke of killing her mother lightly, as if matricide wasn't an unspeakably heinous act, as if it wasn't unnatural, as if it wouldn't break her all over again.
No!
My purpose resolved as I clutched her face, as I brushed the water droplets from her lashes.
So beautiful.
You test my patience, children.
Morgan flicked her hand, and Bo, Silly, and Coco all crumpled in identical movements, like toys crushed underfoot. Bo and Silly lost consciousness completely, and Coco bit her lip around a scream. Morgan's emerald eyes filled with spite.
Perhaps you're right, little blood witch. Perhaps I'll kill all of you instead.
Do not be foolish,
La Voisin snapped.
Accept the terms. The prince and girl mean nothing.
They will die soon enough.
Morgan whirled to face her.
You dare command me!
Faintly, I heard their voices escalate, but my entire world had narrowed to Lou's face, to the golden pattern. It vied for my attention, nearly blinding now, pointing straight and true at its target, connecting us, demanding to be seen. Hope and despair warred deep in my chest. Neither existed without the other. I would find my way back to her. I'd done it once. I could do it again. And she'd finally be safe.
I'll find you again, Lou,
I whispered, and her brows puckered in confusion. I kissed them smooth.
I promise.
Before she could answer, I clenched my fist in her hair. The pattern burst in a shower of gold.
I saw no more.